So normally, on a week's basis, you hear me say, if you're visiting here for the first time, you might get this strange suspicion that all this has been planned thinking about you. And we really mean that. And then sometimes there's some things that confirm, oh my goodness, God, you just did that. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about a miracle, a little small miracle, I believe, that took place last week. If you were here last Sunday, you heard me end the service with a story. It was a personal story for me. It was one of my very first memories here in Lebanon, Missouri. I got a phone call from Home and Howell Funeral Home and said, hey, there's this family that that needs your help. They don't have a pastor. Would you mind presiding over a funeral? And so I got to know the family, and I told you this story last week. And I told you about a son, 11 years old at the time, and a special place that he just got my heart. And honestly, will forever be in my heart. After that whole funeral experience, I really sought to be a friend. And so come to find out, he was a Pittsburgh Steelers football fan. And I thought, this kid's got taste, right? So I'd have him over, come watch football with me at my house. And I'd go, he's a football player, and so I'd go and watch some of his practices and games, and, you know, certainly no ways of trying to replace his dad, but I just wanted to be just a male figure in his life, and for that season to do what I could. And so 11 years have passed, right? And I've lost touch, I've lost track, I haven't seen him in years. From time to time I might bump into him, but it's just been a long, long time. And so I tell the story last week, and you need to know that there are some times I think of something in the moment where I feel like it's like the Lord wants me to say this that I'm not planned on saying. I don't want to throw God under the bus, but sometimes that's why my sermons go long, because I'm thinking, like, God, you really want me to say that? I'm teasing, of course, but I wasn't planning on sharing that story last Sunday. As a matter of fact, I thought about it right at the very end of the first sermon, in the first service. And I thought, well, okay, God, that's a great place to land this revelation plane. And they shall see his face. And that's what Emma says, a five-year-old girl. That's the greatest thing about heaven, Daddy, is we're going to see the Lord. And so I decided, well, I'm going to do that same in the second service. I'm going to share that story, and that's how we're going to end the morning. That's how we're going to end Revelation. So I do as I normally do after the service. I'll go down here, I'll take off my headset, and then I just make myself available. And I'm always, honestly, I'm always looking for somebody to say, hey, preacher, I prayed that prayer today. Hey, preacher, I trusted Jesus today. I mean, I want to have those kind of conversations. So I'm over here, I'm making myself available, hoping to have one of those conversations. And I'm looking this direction, I'm telling you, I turn around. And here's my friend. He's a man now. I haven't seen him in years, and I'm telling you, it's been years since he's been at the First Baptist Church, I believe. And he's just standing there crying. I begin to cry. Andrea was like standing right here, and she knew she was like engaged in like watching a holy moment take place, and so she's kind of like awkward, like looking away, but wanting to see. And I just embrace him, and he embraces me, and we just crowd on each other's shoulders, and you might, you'll say, well, did you ask him, like, what brought him here of all days, like, today, what, you know, it's like, honestly, truthfully, it was like one of those God moments where I didn't want to ruin it. It wasn't even appropriate, and he just said, thank you for everything, and thank you for this today, and listen, I don't know what's going on in his world. I don't know what brought him last Sunday. But I guarantee this, I know who brought him last Sunday. And there is a God, listen, who is always at work. And he is always at work in this world, but I'm telling you, he is always at work in your life. He said, well, okay, pray tell, what's he at work in my life doing? Without even knowing you, I can tell you this with great confidence. In your life, he is working to always and constantly draw you to himself. That is what God is seeking to do. And I don't know how, and I don't know all the dots connected, but I do know from my friend to be here last week, for me at the spur of the moment to include that story that had everything to do about his family and a traumatic event that is forever and forever will be a part of his experience. God brought him here for that. Because God loves him and God cares for him and God wants to draw him so that he becomes convinced as he wants to draw us so that we become convinced that real life is only found in the one who loves us supremely, and that is Jesus.
Amen.
That's Jesus. So as I'm thinking about last week, I'm thinking about you. This week, I'm thinking like, hey, he's at work in you too. And some of you here today, like I said, you came like with your lunch pail of pain, and some of you came and you parked a semi. But yet here you are. You're like, I wish God would show up and start working in my life because I got a semi. And it looks like he's been off duty. And that's why I got a semi of pain and hurt and questions. And so this morning, I want to just, in a very simple way, tell you the answer to it all. If you're here for any time, we make much of this news. It's called the gospel. It's good news. And no matter what your pain is, whether it is like my friend's was last week, the traumatic experience, and I'm sure a hole in his heart because you can't replace a dad. And the older you get, the more you realize you need your dad. And for many of you who've lost your father, what you give, I know, to have another conversation with your dad. It could be like a Todd and Katie Mock and what they're going through today. It could be a Kyle and Felicity Boston, what their experience is right now and all that they're going through in this season. And then there's the private pain represented by so many of you. It's pain that you can't speak of. It is struggle that you would be afraid to tell somebody your secret. And you would think, nobody will understand, even if I did. And so that's part of the reason why you keep it to yourself. And so you just deal with it silently in pain. So I just want to tell you that God wants to minister to all of us today. And God wants to draw us all close to himself today. And God is at work in every life today to bring us closer to himself. And how that happens is when our hearts get touched and overwhelmed by his love. So as I'm praying right before I get up here to speak, as I do every time, I pray the Ephesians 3:16 prayer. God, I pray you give us all strength. Give us all strength in our inner man right now so that we can comprehend the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of Christ. That we can know God's love with all the saints in its magnitude. That love in all of its magnitude that goes beyond human comprehension. God, may you empower us so that we may comprehend it. So then we can walk in the fullness of God today. We can live lives in the fullness of God. We can actually walk in the Spirit. We can actually walk as a little bit of heaven touching earth and us being the conduits to that to a world who needs desperately to see it. God, may that happen. So how's that going to happen? We got to be overwhelmed with his love. So let me tell you about his love real quick. And then we're going to do something that might be new to many of you, but it's going to be pretty cool. And you're going to help me. You're going to help me do something pretty, pretty crazy good. The Bible says that man's greatest need is not just forgiveness of sins, but man's greatest need is life. Because being that we're sinners, we are born spiritually dead. And so we actually have two problems. We are sinners, therefore we deserve the wrath of God, and yet we are dead in the sense that we can't do anything to ourselves to get us out of that predicament. And the good news is that God knows that. God knows that, and he knew that. And so God made very special provision to where, knowing that we could not get to him, God came to us. Now maybe that's never even been told to you before, or maybe it's been a while since you've heard it. But being a sinner means that you, follow this, were born separated from God. Now again, you might have had a mom like mine and told you how wonderful you were all your life and told you how you're a gift and how you're special. And thank God for mamas like that. But you just need to know the other side. And the truth of that story is being a sinner, being born a sinner, and eventually getting to the point where you're consciously sinning, the Bible says your sins have separated you from God. That means you're estranged from God. And being estranged from God means that you are an enemy of God. And I'm not one of these, you know, backwoods preachers that like delight in telling you that. That's just what the scripture says. As someone separated from God, you're estranged from God, you're an enemy of God. And the Bible says, therefore, you are an object of wrath. That means God, in his justice and holiness, and by the way, his judgments are right, in his judgments, you one day will be a recipient of that wrath. And so no matter how good life can be on this side, one day you have a judgment to fear because the Bible says, as it's appointed once to man to die, then after that is death and then judgment. We're going to face this judgment. And if you die in sin, if you die being separated from God, if you die being estranged from God, one day you're going to meet God face to face. And that should be the scariest thought in your mind. That in the state that you might be in, one day you're going to have to stand before God. And in that moment, the full justice and the weight of your sin and the condemnation that it deserves, you will face, and it will take all of eternity, all of forever, to face your consequence. God loved you, ladies and gentlemen. God loves you, young man, little girl. God loves you. And he didn't want you to be a stranger. And he doesn't want you to be an enemy. And he doesn't want you to be an object of wrath. Even though we have rejected him, because all of us, the Bible says, has knowledge of God. But having a knowledge of God, we've turned aside. And we've turned away from that God. And instead of looking to him to give us life, we look for other things to give us life. And even though we might deserve to get what is coming to us, there's a God who says, no, I got something better for you. I got something so much better for you. But he couldn't just wink at it, and he couldn't just say, oh, kids will be kids and boys will be boys. No, sin had to be dealt with. And so he sent his son. God actually sent himself. God became flesh and blood, and he moved into our neighborhoods. He moved into the planet Earth. And there he was born a virgin, and he lived a sinless life. And for 33 years, he was perfect. And the Bible says that eventually he died, and he didn't die as just a martyr's death. And he certainly understand, if you know this from the scriptures, he died a very criminal's death. But the Bible says he committed no crime. He, again, was innocent. But the Bible says he died in our place. And the Bible says that the judgment that was to come upon us, the judgment that we would one day face when we stand before God, that judgment that was coming to us, as actually Jesus took that upon himself on the cross. Now, again, this is where it might become a little clear to you. When Jesus was on the cross, do you remember he cried out and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the reason why Jesus uttered those words in that desperate questioning of a son to a father is because, one, he never had experienced that distance before. But two, what God did is he took all the sin of your life, all the sin of your existence. And God willing, you got a lot more life to live. The sin in your future, God took it all, and he put that upon his son. And again, sin always separates. And so as Jesus, who knew no sin, the Bible says on that cross, he became sin. God took your sin. God took my sin. And he put it upon Jesus. And Jesus bore our sin. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 2, in his body, on that cross. And so what God the Father saw, sin in its ugliness and its magnitude in your life and in my life and everyone who's ever breathed in all of our lives, God the Father turned his back. For the very first time, he who never knew separation from his Father, he who never knew loss, he cries out, my God, why? Why are you forsaking me? Because that's what sin does. Sin separates. And yet God loved you so much, he was willing to do that to his son who was innocent. He didn't deserve that. He did that to his son so that he can make you his son and he can make you his daughter. So that by Jesus dying upon this cross, now the world who was separated from him, that individuals who were separated from him, humanity that was estranged from him, could be invited to be reconciled. That, ladies and gentlemen, is this gospel. That is this good news. You say, man, what about my tow truck I backed up with all my pain? Listen, in your heart of hearts, you need to know something this morning. In the midst of all the questions like, well, what's this going to end up looking like? How is this going to end? Where's the plane going to land? And what's the plane going to look like when it does? Deep down in your heart of hearts, what you really want to know is, God, are you here? Are you here? Are you aware? Are you paying attention? And the Bible says we know all the answer to those questions because God demonstrated how much he's aware. God demonstrated how much he loves. God demonstrated how much he cares. For only that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus dying upon the cross is the answer to that aching question in your heart and mind. Does God care? Is God here? Does he love? The cross is your answer to that. Yes. So I was talking to some friends today, a little girl by the name of Addie and a little young man by the name of Ty. And I said, listen, this is one of my favorite quotes. I'll try to quote it for as long as I live. That God treated Jesus on the cross as though he lived your life. So in return, he could treat you for the rest of your life as though you lived his. Can you take that in? I mean, Holy Spirit, right now, please give everybody the wisdom and the understanding to be able to take that in. God treated Jesus on the cross as though he lived your life. A life of sin, a life of rebellion, a life of I do it my way, a life of, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, I don't need anybody's help. A life that comes from all of those attitudes that are just foreign to the way you were meant to live. All of those attitudes and everything that's led to it. God treated Jesus as though he lived that life. Why? So he can treat you in return as though you lived a perfect life. Worthy of no judgment. Worthy of no condemnation. Never separated. Always close. Never disconnected. All that's made possible because of the gospel. It's good news to everyone who believes. So I guess the question is, do you believe that? You believe it's that personal? See, some of you might think, well, I know he died for the world. I'm telling you, he died for you. I know he loves the world. I'm telling you, he loves you. And Jesus Christ tasted death on your behalf. Jesus Christ drank the cup of God's wrath that you deserved. And by your iniquities, he was broken. By your transgressions, he was crushed. And the judgment that was due your sin, he took on himself. Do you believe that? You say, I want to believe. So I'm just telling you right now in your heart, you can just pray and you can tell God, I believe that. I believe. Talking with Ty and Addie, they're going to be baptized next Sunday. They said they came here back in April of this year. And it was about the second or third time they were here, me talking this way. And each one of them said, that's when I made my decision. I'm telling you right now, You could be a Ty, you could be an Addie right now, and you can make your decision, and you can believe. And as you give Jesus all of your sin, you give him all of your hurt, all of that, he gives you in return, he gives you his righteousness, and he gives you his perfect standing before God. That forever you are now be looked upon through the lens of Jesus, God will see you as perfect. What a deal. All it takes is for you to believe. So you say, Matt, well, you told me you're going to need my help in doing something. So this is how we're going to close service today. So the Bible says that when we come together, there are times that we ought to do this in a tangible way. And we ought to celebrate this gospel in a tangible way. And one of the ways that we do this is through the Lord's Supper. And so today you've come to a service where we are going to be taking and participating in the Lord's Supper. Now, again, this might weird some of you out. You might be thinking, well, what's about to happen? Can I just tell you, the Bible says, I'm about to read in just a moment as we close. The Bible says that when we do this, that you are preaching a sermon. So this will freak some of your friends out tomorrow or maybe even tonight. You talk to them. They say, well, how is church? And you say, church is great. I help preach the sermon. It's going to weird them out because they're thinking, you preach a sermon? Well, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says every time we take this cup and we eat this bread, as often as we do it, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're saying these things are true. This good news is true. I believe. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. And I'm on God's side. I believe. This is good news. I believe. And so this is for believers. If you are in Christ, and some of you just became a believer in Jesus. And so you are welcome to participate in this. So ushers, if you guys would head on back and get the elements. And then as you guys come forward, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, then you'll pass these elements out. Let me give you some directions real quick. There's two cups. The first cup is the juice. Of course, this represents the blood of the Lord Jesus. The bottom cup, there is a piece of unleavened bread that represents the body, which is the life of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to twist and pull. If you just pull, you're going to have another surprise on your hands. And I don't want that surprise for you. So I want you to twist. I want you pulling. And then I want you to take some time to reflect. The Bible talks about taking the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. And I believe the best I've been taught, the best I understand what that means to take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, is that we understand that it's only through Christ, his death, his resurrection, that we are made worthy. We're no longer enemies. Now we're friends of God. We're no longer estranged. We've now been brought near, Ephesians 2 says. The wall has been torn down, and we are now one with the Father. We're sons, we're daughters. And so I think taking it in a worthy manner means we understand our worthiness comes from nothing else but the Lord Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. But it also means that there needs to be a time of reflection and a time of renewal in our own hearts. That maybe if you've just been walking away from God, maybe your faith has grown stale. Maybe you're just not even praying anymore. Maybe you're in a distant country from where you thought you ever would be. Can I just tell you, you can walk 1,000 steps away from God. It just takes one to come back. So this is an opportunity to repent. This is an opportunity to renew your mind, renew your faith. Talk to God whatever you need to talk to him about. And when you are ready, on your own, you take of the cup, take of the bread. Again, representing the life of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. So Father, it is with great gratitude that we participate now and we proclaim until you come the death of the Lord Jesus. We believe these things are true. Many people even today are wearing the shirt for this year for Team FBC, the true story. This is a true story. And everything I ever experienced in this life, my answer finds its way back to that true story. We give you thanks as we celebrate it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So usher, servants, if you guys would pass these out. So Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." My heart's very happy this morning because I know there's some people here today that you're doing this for the very first time in your life. Because you have recently put your faith in Christ. You are now born again, your son and daughter. And so this is the first opportunity you've had to do this. And so that's pretty cool for you. The good news changes everything, Team FBC. It changes everything. Do you believe? Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. Thank you for this time of reflection. A different service, a different way. Certainly a different supper. There's none like it. The significance of it goes beyond our ability to comprehend it truly. But as much as we do, we give thanks. We humble ourselves. We place our mind's attention, our heart's affection upon you. And realize you're working all things out to our good, your glory, which means towards Jesus. In you is life. Apart from you, there is no life. We acknowledge that now. Thank you for everyone here. May this week be different because of this hour shared together. We pray and we ask all this in the name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Thank you so very much. We'll see you back next week for You Said What?